Probably my preaching professor will not be happy with that, but I will go with that. Positivity input. That's what I needed. That's what we needed sometimes. Because God is with us. And the first scripture reading, it says, be patient. Because God knows you by your name. Be patient. Because God loves you. Be patient. Because God is with you. And strength. God's going to strengthen your heart. Sometimes we feel frustrated and disappointed, and we don't know what to do about that. Sometimes we encounter a groundbreaking experience. It feels so dark. You feel so powerless. Have you experienced that? I think, of course. That's part of life. My wife and I, we went to India in January 2010. We taught the Bible at a small seminary. And one of the days, I talked with my father-in-law on the phone. I loved him so much. We talked about a lot of stuff. And we also talked about the Bible because he loved, really loved studying the Bible. It was a typical day and a typical conversation. But 14 hours later, I got a call. He had a heart attack and he passed away. In India, I got that information. He was one of my superheroes, just like my father. It was like the world was torn down. The ground was shaking. Sometimes you are struggling with one thing that even touches your ground or identity. When somebody whom you trust betrayed your trust, you are overwhelmed by one particular struggle, and you can't see other people, many people, or the things you have around. Did you have that experience? When did you have it? When was it? What was it? How did you overcome and get through? And who was it that gave you a safe place? And finally, you find peace. Last week, we talked about Mary's Annunciation. The angel Gabriel told her she would be pregnant. We also talked about how she responded, saying, here am I, servant of the Lord. Lord, let it be with me. We know this part of the story very well. We know how Magnificat in Luke chapter 1. But it must have been horrifying, terrifying news. She knew the penalty for the woman who was pregnant before the wedding. She was too young to handle it. She's now engaged to Joseph, which means she's probably 13 or 14 years old. It would be really hard to believe. Yeah, is she that young? Yes. Yes. In those days, life expectancy was between 30 and 35 when a girl started first period. Her family prepared for her wedding. So in general, girls got married when they were 13 or 14 years old, and boys got married when they were 14 or 16. So Mary was mature. She was matured more than we may expect, but she was still a little girl who had a lot of hope and dreams of her wedding in her ear. The Bible says she was perplexed, terrified. She must have been horrified. At the moment, she couldn't find anybody who can share this news. Not even her parents or friends, but Elizabeth. Only one person. So here's the map on the screen. It's really easy to divide Israel into three sections. The northern section was called Galilee, and middle one is Samaria, and the bottom one, southern part, is Judea. And you see the Mediterranean Sea on the left side of the map, and Jordan River and the Dead Sea in the center of the map. And last week, we talked about the biggest city in Galilee, Sepphoris, just 4 miles away from Nazareth. So years ago, I was a missionary in Africa, South Africa and Zimbabwe. One day, I found many women in Zimbabwe. They were out of town for a few weeks, not just one day or 2 days. Oh yeah, I was looking good. Yeah, 12 or 13 years ago. They were gone for a few weeks. That was interesting. So I asked one of my friends, where are they going? Where are they? And he said, they went to Namibia, a neighboring country, to make money to support their family. So according to the United Nations report, Zimbabwe was one of the three poorest countries in the world. And their neighboring town, Namibia, was relatively wealthier. So many Zimbabwean women crossed the border and worked in Namibia for a few weeks, and they came back. They worked as a housemaid or house servant. Just like that, Nazareth was one of the poorest towns in Galilee. Most people in Nazareth, they were servant class. Many of them walked 4 miles early in the morning to get to Sepphoris to work and returned home in the evening. That was the place where Mary lived. And she was little. She was probably uneducated from a servant class family. And right after the Annunciation, Mary went to see her cousin, the only one person she could talk to, Elizabeth. She was a wife of Zechariah, and she had been told to be barren. She's old now. But now, Mary heard from the angel that Elizabeth was already pregnant. Mary couldn't tell her parents that she was pregnant. Mary couldn't tell this to any of her friends. For Mary, Elizabeth was the only one she could speak to and ask for wisdom. So in our gospel reading, Mary hurried to Judean town to see Elizabeth. Mary lived in a northern part, Nazareth. Elizabeth, she lived in Judea, and you can find those towns. They are not neighboring towns. It is not like the towns, maybe Stirling and Dixon. You can just walk. Nobody walks in our town, but time. Elizabeth was living way far from Mary, so this little girl, Mary, took a trip to Judea. She didn't have a car, a train, or an airplane. She walked. It was a 9 or 10 day walking distance. She walked for 9 or 10 days to see Elizabeth. Now you see how perplexed, terrified, and horrified she was. She was so blessed. She was so blessed to have this precious child, the Son of God, but she couldn't find anyone she might talk with but Elizabeth. And now we have the scripture verse with the second scripture readings. When she arrived, Elizabeth felt a child leaping in her womb. The Bible says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In those days, being filled with the Holy Spirit, that means you become the prophet. You become a prophet. So Elizabeth becomes a prophet. And she said, blessed are you among the women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Can you imagine at the moment, after 9 or 10 day walking travel, terrified, horrified, when she arrived, the first word Elizabeth said was, blessed are you. Can you imagine what Mary might feel at the moment? Can you feel it? After she met the angel, this little girl was horrified and terrified and walked in the hills, mountains, and so many dangerous places alone for 9 or 10 days. Now Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, talked to her. You bear the Son of God. You are blessed. And finally, Mary becomes relieved from her anxiety and fear. And she begins crying with joy. And she said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Magnificat came right after Mary met Elizabeth. Let me ask you, who is Elizabeth in your life? Who was it? Somebody you fully trust and from whom you may find wisdom and encouragement. When you felt so disturbed, frustrated, and depressed, when you felt you are lost, not knowing what to do or where to go, who was there and gave you comfort? Who gave you hope and peace when you thought you couldn't find any way to go and anybody whom you can trust? Who was that? I have two Elizabeths in my life. I can find more of them, but first one is my father. He's my superhero. To me, he's stronger than Superman and Spider-Man combined. They cannot beat my father. I often ask for his wisdom. Dad, what do you think about that? What about that? What about that? What about that? Tell me, am I okay? Then he says, my son, I know you. I trust you. Go. And the other one is Reverend Blackwell, one of the retired pastors in our conference. He always encouraged me to do more and go forth. And one day, just before my final ordination interview years ago, I was so nervous. I've done so much work and study for the ordination, and it was my last interview, and he noticed what I felt. And he said, it's okay. It's gonna be okay. They are all human, and you will be okay. He didn't say I would pass. He simply said, I'll be okay. But anyway, that was way enough. When I passed the interview, I ran into him and said, Phil, I made it. I passed the interview. And he said, I told you. It's not surprising. And he continued, in your ministry, so many things will happen. Sometimes you will be overwhelmed with joy, but sometimes you will be frustrated, disappointed, and even depressed so many times, and you will be crying. But remember, I'm always here for you. When you are happy, I will be dancing with you. When you are crying, my shoulders are right here for you. He is my Elizabeth. I believe someday I will be his Elizabeth. In honor of his presence, today I wear his elf, 45-year-old elf that I have from him. We talked about Elizabeth. Let me ask you, in reverse, to whom are you, Elizabeth? We are so blessed to be a part of this beautiful community of faith. That's why we call it family, Wesley family. You can find your Elizabeth in this church, and you can be Elizabeth. I believe that's one of the reasons, that's one of the ways we follow Jesus. And besides our personal relationship with others, I love to talk about acts of being Elizabeth in a larger circle of our lives. I know a few of our church members are doing a mentoring program in our school district, mentoring many kids once a week. What a beautiful community it is. You are their Elizabeth. A few of us volunteer at the hospital and food pantry to help people in need in this season of their lives. You're right there for the people who are really vulnerable and who need help. You are Elizabeth. For the Thanksgiving basket, we helped many people with Thanksgiving basket. And we did Salvation Army bell ringing yesterday, many of us. And we have been praying for the people in our community and many places in the country and the world. And we have more than a dozen organizations and many missionaries we support monthly with our loose coin. And we have donated a lot for the refugees this year, especially Ukrainian refugees, and collected many items for the people who are seeking asylum. And 100% of all the donations and offerings at the Christmas Eve service will go and help both in our local community and the world through Loaves and Fishes and Encore Disaster Relief Fund. We are not sharing some resources with our prayers. We are not only just sharing them with our prayer, but also sharing the love of God and joy of Christmas. It will give them safety, hope, and peace. We give our hands and heart to help them. We become Elizabeth to many people who are vulnerable in this season of their life. When you talk about the act of love, I can't just skip the apportionment. You know, we pay the full amount of apportionment to the conference and the general conference. And apportionment, yes, it supports our denomination, but with our apportionment, we have about 400 missionaries every single corner of the world. And we are running hundreds of schools, hospitals, and homes for orphans and homeless people with our apportionment. And we are giving hands with prayer to the people who are vulnerable in this season of their lives. We are somebody's Elizabeth. We do that because we have Elizabeth when you need it. Let me wrap it up. Elizabeth, I think that is our another name. Who was your Elizabeth? And to whom are you Elizabeth? I believe that is one of the beautiful lessons we find in this season, Elizabeth. Amen. Is it on? Okay. Let me just remind you, we have three options. It's simple. The first one is